Blog Talk Radio.
It is Kelly here, and it is 57 degrees out there right now. It's supposed to be a high today of 84, and we're just really getting into that windy, blustery, a lot of allergens in the air. And so I've heard some people, I've seen people, their eyes red and just, suffering to breathe. And I'm asking them if it is, of course, allergies, and they're saying it's, obviously, of course it is. What do you think it is? What else could it possibly be? All right. So I've got a couple of things that I wanted to get into before the Rossin Report starts. And one of the things that I was looking at today was this story on see what I can get to come up here, but I kind of had to reboot this thing. But there is an issue out there that was raised by Bill O'Reilly, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. And there's been a lot of anti-Christian activity in the Middle East, and that's one of the things that people have been upset about with the president, is they don't feel like he's doing enough to protect Christians, whereas they feel like he's constantly standing up for Muslims, people of other faith. They don't buy into that. And so there's a couple of issues here. Number one, people are wanting to know what the president's faith is. Most people, I would think, probably don't see the president as a Christian. That's my impression anyway. That's one level. Another one is how the president interacts with people of faith in this country. And then another issue is what is happening across the globe in terms of attacks on Christians. For example, ISIS was going in and singling out Christians to kill. What did if the president was a Christian, why didn't he react to that? People wanted to know that. So here's a little clip on this. General question is whether it's open season on Christians from Bill O'Reilly.
Watching us tonight, the war on Christianity getting even worse. That's the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Kenya, Africa, five radical Muslim killers murdered at least 70 people at a college in that country. At least another 75 were wounded. Gunman burst into a Christian prayer service, proceeded to shoot down the innocent worshipers. That comes after a mid-March suicide bombing in Pakistan, killing 14 Christians, wounding 70 others. A few weeks before that, Libya, ISIS killers beheading 21 Egyptian Christians. So you can see Christians are being slaughtered all over the place. Here in the USA, verbal attacks against Christians are the headline. As we reported yesterday, some far-left people, aided by a sympathetic media, are now smearing Americans who oppose things like abortion and gay marriage. No question, it is open season on Christians.
There are no great religions. They're all stupid and dangerous. And we should insult them.
All religions, I think, sell you a problem and then sell you the solution. They remind me of the Three Stooges episode where they're exterminators, but first they go to the house and plant roaches and rats.
Mr. Maher, a well-known religion hater who is much lionized by the media, given a free pass to bash people of faith. His anti-religion movie got some negative reviews, as did his attacks on Islam, but his vicious behavior toward Christianity largely ignored in the press. Now, a recent poll from the Associated Press is instructive. Here's the question. In states where same-sex couples can be married legally, do you think that wedding-related businesses with religious objections should be allowed to refuse service to same-sex couples or not? 57% say yes, they should be allowed to refuse marital service. 39% say no, 4% don't know. A public religion research institute poll asks, in America today, do you believe that the right of religious liberty is being threatened or not? Yes, it's being threatened, 54%. No, 41%. Don't know, 5%. So most Americans get it, even though the secular progressives have succeeded in putting people of faith on the defensive. Perhaps the best example of this is the pizza shop in Walkerton.
Well, we got the gist of his report. So let me ask you this. What do you think the direction in this country, and I know a lot of people have, would listen to the show would have some level of belief in higher power / Catholic, Protestant, Christian, whatever. Where are things headed in this country? And one of the reasons that I ask you that is specifically, it seems to be that anybody can now openly trash Christianity and get away with it. And we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Antonio. Good morning.
Good morning, Antonio. Great to have your call. And what's on your mind?
I wanted to mention, what about the Jews in Jerusalem that got butchered in the synagogue while they were praying, and the president made no comment or anything about that? And can you imagine if somebody would have been slaughtered in a mosque? He would have been outraged.
Yeah, I mean, I find it very strange. I honestly don't go out of my way to listen to what the president says or doesn't say, because I find it a lot of times to be disturbing. For example, yeah. He is quoted as saying, he says something along the lines of, I find it difficult when people say that I haven't done everything that I can to help Israel. And I'm thinking, you've got this personal, very personal war going on with Benjamin Netanyahu. You wanted to shrink the borders of Israel down to a few miles to the 1967 borders. You have told Israel that you'll shoot their planes down if they try to take out this nuclear enrichment program in Iran. You know, just all of these things. And I find it hard, that level of like disinformation, I'm not comfortable with it. I would prefer not to listen to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, my thought is that he has shaken his fist at God, and vengeance belongs to the mighty one. We love you. We love your show, and God bless America. God bless Las Cruces.
Thanks, Antonio.
That's a good message.
Thank you very much.
All right.
A great day.
Bye.
Bye. So I know, you know, I'd like to know how many people who are Christians or Catholic, when you sit down, you know, when you're spending a little time by yourself and you have a few moments to reflect, how do you define yourself? Do you define yourself as a Christian or a Protestant, Catholic, whatever? Or do you define yourself? I mean, I wonder how many people in this country, what percentage of the people have like this deep-rooted identity in Christianity, the Bible, whatever? I'm thinking it's possible that it may not be very high, because I think that we're kind of living in days, and I think most people would agree with this, where there's a lot of secularism out there. There's a lot of, there's been a lot of concessions to the culture. For example, there's probably a fairly high number of people who would say, you know, I'm Christian, but I'm pro-gay and pro-gay marriage and all these different things, kind of indifferent towards whatever the teaching in the Bible might be, because there is this general sense that I think that we've picked up that we're evolving. And I think this Darwinian evolution is really deeply kind of sunk into our brains. And so we have a tendency to look at cultural issues and say, you know, nothing stands still. We must move forward. And so how that works itself out is, I think probably right now, a lot of people in their minds, they're thinking, well, if I was alive when slavery was happening, I'd be opposed to slavery. And, you know, anti-gay is the new slavery. And so I'm going to fight that. You know how people have a tendency to see themselves as, accurately or not, as being individuals who would, you know, take large risks and join a crusade, even if it put their life on at risk, whether it's accurate or not, you know, whether they would really do that or not. So there's, you've got Bill O'Reilly's statement. I've got something else here. I've got another clip, and I, as opposed to playing another long clip, I'll just tell you that Ann Coulter and Bill O'Reilly had a conversation and on Fox News, in which they said that, at this point I might as well play it, but there was a conversation to the extent that they agreed that Christians have a certain level of cowardice. So anyway, 70 to 80% of the people in this country see themselves as Christians. So why isn't there more, for example, why aren't there more Christian politicians?
With us here in New York City, syndicated
columnist. Why isn't there more, you know, Christian policy?
And you wrote a
whatever.
Column today.
Putting
that says
aside
what?
The idea of
the media is subjecting us to a whole series
of
fake
having
stories.
A theocracy,
we have
which I don't think is a real criticism.
Actually, with us here in New York,
I don't think anybody in the country really wants a theocracy. Okay, let's take a little break here. It's 57 degrees out there. It's going to be a nice day. It's going to be a little bit windy. You're listening to AM Las Cruces, Kelly O'Connell Show, KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. And we're going to be right back. We got Ben Rawson coming in theory in a few minutes, but be right back. 523-1450 to call in. It's Kelly here at 6:39. It is 57 degrees out there right now. It's going to be about 85 today, and the wind's going to be whipping up to 25, 26 miles an hour, maybe more. So we're talking about in the culture right now, the state of Christianity, and the claim is from Bill O'Reilly and people like that what we're dealing with is a failure to support what you believe. Here's a little clip on that. With Ann Coulter and Bill O'Reilly.
City syndicated columnist Ann Coulter. And you wrote a column today that says what?
It says the media is subjecting us to a whole series of fake stories. And we have a different hate campaign each week from, you know, hands up, don't shoot, the fraternity rape at UVA, going back to the Duke lacrosse fake rape, hysteria over nuclear power. And this week's hate is just happens to be on the Christians. Now, that is a longer trend, as I described in my book, Godless. It's Christianity that the left hates most of all, because that is the foundation of our country, and everything, all of our freedoms come from that. Freedom of association, freedom of speech. This direct attack on the Christians, and I agree with your talking points memo, I wouldn't put so much stress on what's happening in other countries. The rest of the world is a cesspool of violence and atrocities. This is the most consequential nation on earth, and the fact that these Christians would rather get praise from the New York Times' Nicholas Kristof by changing bedpans of Ebola patients in Nigeria, rather than stand up to the New York Times and fight against abortion and fight against these bullies, and I don't think it's gay bullies, I think it's what you, as you call them, secular progressives or liberals, the media, they're the ones who are trying to tear down this country by going directly at the heart of America, which is Christianity. Where are the Christians and where are the Republicans? I'm glad this Mike Pence isn't running for president. They are falling like
I had a discussion with Karl Rove last night, and I said to Mr. Rove, if the Republican nominee for president wants to win, he or she better start sticking up for people
of
faith.
You're absolutely
right. Because if they don't, then it's going to be the same old wishy-washy, don't have the backbone to defend us.
Yes, and incidentally, Jeb Bush has backed down.
Well, I don't want to look.
Look, they all have.
Governor Bush will be sitting where you're sitting soon. And we'll see if he's going to back down or not.
He did.
But 80% of Americans describe themselves as Christian. 80%. Overwhelming.
Right.
All right? However, the 80% are getting thumped. They're losing by, 5-8%? How did that happen?
Because these small-town owners of pizzeria have more Christian courage than most Christian leaders and certainly the Republican Party. I mean, if the one thing, and a few days before Easter, it's worth mentioning, besides eternal life with your Creator, the one thing every Christian should have is courage. The most important thing in your life, in eternity, is already taken care of. Go out and fight. You're afraid of being sneered at by the New York Times? That is the one thing every Christian should have, and most of them don't.
You have a cross on your neck. What faith are you? I mean, what religion are you?
I'm a straight Christian. I'm
Protestant?
Presbyterian. I'm a quarter Catholic.
You can't be a quarter Catholic.
Sort of
you're either in or you're out. All right. You can't.
I go to which one.
No,
everyone
hybrid.
Has the evening services.
Now,
morning person.
My religion, Roman Catholicism, I have been critical of the fact that there are no clerics in America, zero, who put themselves out to defend the Christian faith. Nobody. All right. They might write a column here or there, but believe me, we've asked them to come on the program, and you don't get anybody to come on.
You should have asked
now,
me.
So. Here's the claim. The country is overwhelmingly Christian in its fundamental beliefs. How Christian the country is in terms of political ideas or, you know, social theories or ideas about sexuality or business or whatever it is that you think is a notable subject as a subcategory in these people's minds, it would be hard to say. But I would say there's a couple of things going on out there. What they're talking about right now, the fear of being smeared or slandered or whatever, if you stand up for what you believe, treated as a fool or whatever thing. Then there's the probably realistic belief that if you're involved in any campaigns, that your business could suffer and you feel a responsibility to feed your family and keep your workers safe. But there's also, I think there's a level of this issue where people are asking, what would I be willing to fight and die for? And, you know, obviously the founders of the country were willing to fight and die for their beliefs. But I think there's lacking out there kind of a unified theory of Christianity in this modern age. And people are kind of left to their own devices. Now, I bring this up in part, well, this is a conservative audience, so it would be an interesting topic to you. Another part, though, is you know, what does the future hold for the vast majority of people in this country? It seems absurd that 70 or 80% of the people would allow themselves to be pushed around in this country. But, I mean, it is what it is. So is there a way forward for Christianity in this country? 20% of the people in this country now consider themselves to be unaffiliated, which is pretty big. It's a pretty big number. So we're talking 60 million plus people. All right. Kelly O'Connell here, and I got Ben Rawson coming on. We will. I got one more little essay for you when we come back. Here's a little more Knopfler. It's AM Las Cruces. It's 57 degrees. Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450 to call in if you have an opinion. And if you're a Frankie or a Kathy or whoever, Hammurabi, whatever, and you're a critic of religion, I got an open mic here for you. Be right back.
Then around the dungeon doors, the chef is in a queue. Everybody's looking for somebody.
Kelly here. It's 6:48. It's 57 degrees outside. It's going to be a high of 84. And be careful. It's going to be windy. All right. I've got this article here from Rod Dreyer, who is a writer. I believe he writes out of Dallas. The name of the article, though, is The Post-Indiana Future for Christians. It is a brilliant article, and it's in the AmericanConservative.com. And he said that somebody contacted him, a reader of his blog, a professor in an elite university who was wanted to talk to him about, he's a law professor, contacted him and said, basically, I'm in the closet as a Christian. He's a committed Christian, this professor, but he's in the closet because there's not a lot of support for Christianity in academia. And he said when they were talking about this issue of Christian liberty and basically the fate or the future of the country, he said, I'm very worried, quote, constituency for religious liberty isn't there anymore. Now, let me just comment on this. I've done a lot of research in the history of rights, natural law, natural rights. Our country was basically a petri dish for these ideas, and it has paid off so spectacularly that nobody could doubt that there's something to natural law and natural rights. The Constitution is an expression of natural rights, that there is a law beyond the law, and in the religious realm, it is, you know, the Bible, it's God's law, it's the Ten Commandments. In the secular realm, it's called the Constitution. But there is a law beyond the law, and that's a natural law theory. That's a natural rights theory. All of this comes out of this ferment, this bubbling in the church, in the history of the church. And when I say the church, I mean the ancient church, what became the Catholic Church, and then the Protestant Church have all added to this. So we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Tom.
Tom, yeah, hey, good morning. Glad you called, and what's going on?
I wonder if Fabulous Frankie would
ignorant liberal would agree that the Muslim faith is interwoven, as the president said, into this country, and they helped found this country. When he said that?
That's an
integral part and woven into our fabric?
Yeah, maybe I let that particular comment pass, but that is historically false. This is not a Muslim country in its roots.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great day. All right, so why isn't it a Muslim country in its roots? I mean, you have to have a little bit of respect for history. You go back in history and see what happened. No history that is written is perfect, but to totally ignore history is being on a fool's errand. This country was carved out of a Christian to bring liberty to a new place so people could worship or believe. It's not just worshiping, it's living their lives in peace. And so the history of America has not been perfect, but find me a country with a better history, with a fairer history, that even with something like slavery, we used our own documents to go back and fix the problem. Now, America's not perfect, but the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the many freedoms that are guaranteed to us in the Constitution. My research on these things is that they're, these things are coming out of a Christian debates within the church. What happens is the church argues about stuff. It establishes an idea, and centuries later, it gets grafted into the secular world because it's proves to be successful. We've got another call here. Thanks for the call, Kelly. Can I show who's this?
I need a lawyer.
Brother Kevin, what's going on, man?
How's it going down there?
Pretty good. We're talking about religious liberty. So how are things in Alaska?
Things are going good, and we had a little election yesterday here to pick a new mayor, so we're pretty excited about that.
Well, that's exciting in old Anchorage. Well, let me put you on the spot here, Kevin. We're talking about kind of what's going on in the culture right now, and what did you think about this pizza place, Indiana's law, religious freedom law, and they've got this pizza place that said, we don't want to cater to gay weddings and stuff. And there was this huge outcry, how dare you? What was your take on that? That idea that there's Christian liberty out there that allows you to say, as a private business owner, I don't want to be involved in this situation.
Well, I think that a person that should have a certain amount of chance to run a business within their religious guidelines. So I think that is an awful thing. I had heard that they had raised $800,000 in a fund for the pizza place, and there had been speculation that the owners had, this was all a setup to generate cash for themselves. So,
Yeah, well, there was an interview with the girl whose father owns the place, and it's from her description, it sounded like a complete fluke that they got involved in this debate. They're not backing down, but they said, we would certainly love to serve gay people food in our restaurant, but we don't want to be forced into catering for a gay marriage because that is not something that we believe in. And it seems like there's a lot of people in this country that are opposed to letting people express religious freedom in that way. But let me ask you this. I know that you think about religion to a certain extent in the future of the country. Where do you see things headed in terms of Christianity or religion in the country with all the crazy stuff going on?
Well, I think it's sad. They have to remove all these religious statutes, and they they don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance in some schools, and at Christmas time you're not allowed to sing Christmas carols in school. I think it's getting to be a sad for our country that we have to kind of cater to all these people that maybe aren't religious and want to control the rest of the Christian thinking.
Okay, so realistically speaking, 70% of the population is Christian. We're a democracy, so we say that the majority should rule in some sense and make the rules, although we accept minority rights. But what in your opinion, realistically, what can be done to change the direction?
You know, I think that we should be able to some extent, enforce religious freedoms, whatever they are, because I think that's mandated by the Constitution, and to be run by a few extremists that you know, want to dictate to the masses, I think is wrong, and it, you know, there's got to be some way to kind of put that to rest and accommodate everybody. But it seems like the more radical views that these protesters have, for some reason, they want to go along with. They don't want to offend anybody. So,
all right, Kevin, I got another caller here. Was there anything else?
Yeah, I had run across some funny news stories.
Well, we got about 1 minute here, so give it to us.
Unless you want to catch me after the break.
Well, how about I'll call you and then set up a time a little bit later, okay?
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Neil.
Hey, Neil. We got about 1 minute, but give it to us.
Yes, real quick. First of all, my article tomorrow morning in the Sun News is going to be on this issue specifically. And the thing that makes the difference between RFRA being right and wrong is, and people are not focusing on this, is RFRA is discriminatory against an activity, not a person.
I was listen, Neil, I have a friend who's a black female that I talk to maybe once a week, and she called in, and we were talking about this last night, and I made the same argument. How can you take an activity and then place it against a race? You can't change no matter what. Everybody knows you're black all the time. You can't hide that. Hey, how about a show tomorrow on this?
I work in, you know what? I can do that, actually. Yeah, what time?
You want to do 6? You want to do 6:30?
Yeah, I'll be there at 6.
Okay, well, fantastic. Thanks a lot.
See you tomorrow morning. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Folks, we'll talk about this all day tomorrow. I got Steve Pierce coming on tomorrow, too. All right, I'm going to take you out here on a break of the hour. In theory, Ben Rossin's coming, but we've heard that one before. Be right back, 6:59, Kelly O'Connell Show, KOBE.
Here's frost on the graves and the monuments, but the taverns are warm in town. People curse the government and shovel hearts down. Lights are out in City Hall, the castle and its street. The moon shines down upon it all, the river and the street. Cold on the toll gate, where the wagon's creeping through. Cold on the toll gate, God knows what I can see. What if? It's what if. Thank you.
Hello.
Good morning, Kelly Ben Rossin.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Oh, it's going fantastic. Sorry to be doing this over the phone instead of in person, but I hope you understand.
No problem, as long as we're not on speakerphone.
No, I'll keep you off the speakerphone, and I'm walking to an area where I can talk a little bit louder so that you'll be able to hear well.
All right, so we're not on the air yet, but how's the baby doing?
Doing fantastic, Kelly. Really exciting. He was born at 4 o'clock this morning, and baby and mom are both doing well. So it's been a long night, that's for sure, but he's doing real well.
Wow, man, you sound pretty happy.
I am. You know, it's pretty exciting, Kelly. Kelly, do you have any kids?
No.
No.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's fun.
How many kids
you
got?
Yeah, my hope is this is my fourth.
Wow, how many are you going to have?
Number four. We'll see. Hopefully one at a time. But we'll see. We haven't really decided that. We're just kind of going along with it for now and see how it goes. One at a time. They're not too overwhelming.
Well, that's cool.
The main issue I was going to talk about this morning, Kelly, is on transparency and the fact that a lot of politicians talk about transparency, but actions are important. And one of the things that I've done since being on the county commission and just accomplished in the last 2 weeks here is that now the video streaming is available immediately after the session is over. Instead of when I came on board in the commission, it would take 3 to 5 working days before that was available, that video was available for people to view it. And so that's kind of what the focus I have for this morning, unless you've got a different direction you'd like me to go.
No, that sounds fine. Whatever you've got on your mind, you know, the front of the paper has commission starts work on county budget. So you might want to mention that.
Sounds good. I'll do that for sure.
We're on in about 10 seconds.
Okay.
It is Kelly here at 7-6. 57 degrees, headed into 85 today, 25-mile-per-hour winds, sunny and windy, but what else do you expect from this time of the year? And I've got Ben Rossin on the line, and we have some congratulations due. Ben, your wife just had a baby, so congrats.
That's right, Kelly. Breaking news, I guess. The reason I'm not in the studio with you there this morning and I'm on the phone instead is I'm standing out in front of the hospital where my son was just born. So a real exciting night for us.
Fantastic. Okay, so did you cut the umbilical cord?
I did. I had that the privilege to do that, and it sure is a joy to welcome him to this world. So really exciting, and I'm sure you and your listeners can hear my voice. It certainly has been an exciting night and an early morning for us.
Wow. How much did the baby weigh?
Weighed in at 9 pounds, 2 ounces, and healthy, and everything is going great. So it's really been fantastic.
Does it have a name?
Yes, Luke Michael Rossin is his name. So I guess I should have started with that. I wasn't quite prepared to do a radio interview on my kid this morning, but it's a privilege to be talking to you, Kelly, and sharing with all of your listeners that I know care so much. So I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you sharing with us. Okay, so I'm looking at this thing on the front page. Commission starts working on county budget. What are your comments on that?
You know, Kelly, we started working on the county budget yesterday. Well, we've actually had a couple work sessions on it before, but we're facing the same major problem, which is a difficulty in the way that it's laid out and in understanding it and in trying to make sure that we do the right things with the people's money. Of course, the county commission last or 2 weeks ago passed the gross receipts tax increase, which I voted against. but that resulted in an additional $12.3 million to the budget. And in the budget numbers that were presented yesterday, that wasn't even included in those. So they've got a long ways to go to get us something that we can really evaluate and make some decisions on.
Well, now that you have more money to work with, it's going to be so much easier. Think about how much more fun you're going to have spending an extra $12 million.
You know, Kelly, the hard thing for me is knowing that we didn't need it, and it's a matter of mismanagement and a lack of prioritization. And to go back to the constituents, the voters, and take that money away from them without putting it to a vote, I'm singing an old tune because that vote's already passed, but it was the wrong thing to do, and I'm still disappointed that the commission took that action.
Well, at least people know that there was a controversy, and, when you only have one party rule, the rubber stamp creates a tyranny.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Kelly. Before I was on the county commission, there was all five Democrats. And so now that I'm on there, I do provide a different perspective. And although certainly the minority at this point, that perspective is being aired and people are listening to it. And so that's a real good, encouraging thing.
Is it true they used to do county commission meetings in a hot tub?
Kelly, I have no idea. Glad I wasn't there for that.
No doubt. Okay, so you had mentioned to me you've been thinking and working on transparency in government. So can you share with us a little bit on that?
Absolutely, Kelly. Yeah, that's what my Rossin report is about this morning. And I don't have all of my notes in front of me, so I hope you and your listeners will forgive me for not having that right in front of me. But, transparency is something that you often hear elected officials talk about and something that everyone pretends to be in favor of. When I came on the county commission, our video recordings of the meetings were not made available to the public for 3 to 5 working days after they occurred. So for almost a full week after they occurred before those would be available. And I'm really proud to announce to your listeners, and I want to make sure to thank Felipe Scoble over at the county IT department, but those postings will now be made available before the close of business on the very same day that the meeting took place. For example, on our meeting yesterday on Tuesday, Kelly, that meeting finished at about 12 o'clock, and by 1:15, that video was already available for people to view. So I'm really proud of being able to champion that and push that through, and I think that's a real important thing when it comes to transparency for people to be able to see what their elected officials are doing.
All right, and what can be gained from transparency for the sake of the argument?
Well, even when we're talking about the gross receipts tax that we were just talking a minute ago, people get to see exactly what their elected officials said, and I should mention that that can be viewed if you go to donyanacounty.org /BOCC/video is where that is. But if you just go to the donyanacounty.org, then there's a link there for those videos. But people can see that one of the commissioners said on the GRT that we have a moral responsibility to raise this tax. And, some of those things like that, it's important for people to be able to see what their elected officials are doing and saying and not just read about it in the paper or hear about it, here on your show or anything else, Kelly, but be able to have firsthand knowledge of exactly what their elected officials are doing.
All right. Let's tap into that one idea there, because I think this is something that really, motivates a lot of these people in the progressive movement or on the far left. What is the claim that there's a moral responsibility to increase taxes? How do you understand that?
Kelly, I don't understand that at all. I think it's a very flawed argument. I don't know how you can even make that argument when you have, since 2007 to today, when the rest of the county has been in a recession, county government has increased.
Ben, are you there? I think we've lost transmission. We've lost contact with the capsule, so.
Uh-oh, can you hear me now, Kelly?
Yeah, no, you were cut off for about 20 seconds.
Oh, sorry about that.
So anyway, the moral responsibility. So I would understand it to mean something along the lines of It is only the people in power who can help the poor and the disenfranchised, the voiceless. We have a moral responsibility to take money from the wealthier and to ease the burden of poverty of the poor, and to do all of the things that nobody else will do in the community.
Kelly, I think that's a fair analysis of that position, and I will say that I think it's wrong because, it's a matter of priorities. And when we've chosen to spend money as we have in the past, and I don't know if this part got cut off or not, but from 2007 to today, the county government positions have increased by 28%. When the rest of the county's been in a recession, county government has increased by over a quarter.
It's Kelly here, 723. It's 57 degrees, maybe getting closer to 60 right now. And you've got a high today of 85. It's going to be pretty warm out there. And the thing is that it is really getting warm. It's really heating up. And so you're going to have a windy day today. It's going to be clear and sunny and very windy, 25 miles an hour wind. So just factor that in as you're moving around. Okay, so let me get back here to this story that I was reading, which was, or getting into, this attorney. Well, he was a law professor. He's at an elite school. In other words, he's at a Ivy League school. You could be Yale, Harvard, whatever. He's in a Christian, but he's in the closet. And they were talking about what attitude the elites have. Now, the elites are the people that are running the country right now. He says that there is a, quote, radical incomprehension of religion. They think religion is all about being happy, clappy, and nice, or should be. They don't see any legitimate grounds for a clash between religion and secularism. And they make a lot of errors. They don't want to listen. And he says, these people believe at best religion is something consenting adults should do behind closed doors. And they do not understand the connection between charity and Christianity. And all right, so here, this is a very powerful statement here. He says, the sad thing, and this is from the American Conservative, an article by Rod Greyer, and the article is, and I was getting into it a little earlier before we had our phone calls, the post-Indiana future for Christians. The sad thing is, he says, the old ways of aspiring to truth, seeing all knowledge as part of learning about the nature of reality, they don't hold. It's all about power. They've got cultural power, and they think they should use it for good, but their idea of good is not anchored in anything. They've got a lot of power in courts and in politics and education. Their job is to challenge people to think critically, but thinking critically means thinking like them. They really do think that they know so much more than anybody did before, and there's no point in listening to anybody else because they have all the answers and believe they are good. And I think when I hear that, when I read that, I think of the president's attitude, I think, is probably along those lines. All right, so this, and he quotes this guy, Alistair McIntyre, who has had a big influence on my thinking. Alistair McIntyre he's a professor of philosophy, but he's written some very important, or should I say influential, books, such as After Virtue. And what he basically said is that we've kind of lost the meaning in the culture of right and wrong, good or good and bad, however you want to describe it. And so basically we're kind of left to our own devices to figure this stuff out. And the answers that we've come up with are conflicted. They disagree. They don't really lead anywhere. And so you've got this, on one side, you've got this battle from the left to change everything, to make progress. And the, don't forget the progressive movement, 1890 to 1920, 1930, something like that. The progressive movement is really, if you want to talk socialism, communism, Marxism in America, we're more influenced probably by progressivism than any other movement. We're not, you know, we're not directly Marxists over here. People on the super far left would claim to be Marxist, but there's a lot of people out there on the left that are progressives. What they want to do is make society better. They don't necessarily want to destroy capitalism. But the progressive movement, you know, 30 or so years, had some remarkable achievements and yet was built on a flawed foundation. One of these days I will, I'll get into, maybe next week I'll get into this idea of progressivism, kind of tell you about the history of it, but you know, there were people on the right and people on the left that were in the progressive movement, and for instance, Teddy Roosevelt. So anyway, we're getting in, kind of tapping into this thing. Alistair McIntyre stands for the idea that there has been kind of a implosion in the West in what we believe, and you know, we're living in the consequences of it. And so that is explains the disconnect between the people that are running the country. They're not religious. They don't aspire to be religious. and they see themselves as truth bearers or truth holders. And the upshot is, and because they don't really believe in, and I think you see that in the political movement now, and I think you see that, you know, when the president won, he said, I won, I get to call the shots. And that is kind of a progressive view of how power should be used to better the kind of the ignorant masses, is I think in the way they see it. And they don't understand the rich history of Christianity in the country. They don't really care. They understand that the founders or the pilgrims came here were religious, but that we've long ago evolved out of that. They don't understand that there's an intellectual part of Christianity or in this country that is extraordinarily powerful, and it goes back into the deep reaches of the medieval period, where all of our ideas kind of bubbled out of over centuries. All right. So anyway, in switch gears here a little bit, in honor of Ben Rossin's new baby, Don't Shake the Baby, Ben, Nate Bargatze. This is one of my favorite comedians. At 7:30 AM Las Cruces, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back.
It's great having a kid. I've been married for 7 years, and so now we just have a 1-year-old daughter. So it's getting pretty serious. And this is what took it over the edge. We were living in New York when my daughter was to be born, but I'm from Tennessee. So we flew home, and my daughter was born in Tennessee. I didn't want her to be born in New York. I don't need her growing up thinking she's better than me. So I was like, you start where we start. All right. How about that? It was wild. Does anybody have kids here? A couple? One person? All right. The rest is like, when I die, this city dies. It's wild. I remember on the way to the hospital, like, I told my wife, I was like, look, I don't want to see anything. All right. It's going to be gross. I wish it was like the 50s when they didn't even let men in the hospital. But it's not. Now, like, doctors are like, do you want to deliver the baby? Why don't you do most of it? They just pull the baby out, and then they're like, they just tell you, they're here, cut the umbilical cord. They just tell you to do it, like, real fast. Like, I didn't take a class. They just act like I'm the guy that cuts umbilical cords at the hospital. I almost cut the wrong part, and they were like, that's not right. I was like, oh, maybe, you know, you should jump in. You did go to doctor school for this. I don't know why I'm doing minor surgery right now.
It's Kelly, obviously, 57 degrees out there right now, and it's going to be 85, 25 mile an hour winds or more. All right, so kind of working through this thing with the right to I talked to a gay friend of mine, I talked to a black friend of mine, and they both called me and asked me my opinion, believe it or not. And I said my opinion is that that this, if you, if, all right, here's my opinion on this law, Indiana law. Do we really want a law that forces people to do business, private business? Do we really want a law that forces people to have to do business with people that they would prefer not to do business with, or be involved in situations that they're opposed to? Let me give you an example. Would you force if you're going to force the catering company or the pizza company to do the food for a gay wedding, how about if you make them do a pornography shoot? There's a pornography and company that needs in town that needs food, so they call up this, you know, restaurant, we want you to cater, so the people are coming out bringing the food out, and under the law you couldn't not do it because that you were opposed to this. So I mean, you can think of any number of things. Would you force a Jewish company to deliver bagels to a white supremacist or a Nazi headquarters? In, you know, I mean, it strikes me as absurd, and it makes me wonder where the law is headed in the future, you know, because if you've taken away people's free choice in how they do their business, what else is there in having a business, you know? And so we've seen these cases being lost on the catering, the cake baking, the bakery, the floral arrangements, the photography. I mean, isn't this country? And I said, my gay friend said that her opinion was that we would have freedom, that, you know, she doesn't believe the law should be forcing people to do stuff like that. And so I think that there is a lot of libertarianism in the gay community because they see themselves as not fitting into the traditional, the traditional America, and they want their own rules. And so probably a fair percentage of gay people that wouldn't want the law forcing people to do stuff like that. All right. So we've got here this situation in Iran where we're got this kind of interesting scenario where the president and his people have been putting together, John Kerry, putting together this tree with Iran under the theory that they're not going to, we're going to keep them from going rogue and creating this nuclear bomb and using it on Israel or whatever. Now, there's a lot of people out there that have a problem with what's happened so far because, number one, I mean, there's just a lot of different, here's the argument from the right. Number one, Iran is a bad actor. They do a lot of bad and evil stuff. And number two, they support terrorism around the world. Number three, they don't want to fit into this Middle Eastern kind of community where everybody is just getting along, that they have and continue to say they're going to destroy Israel and that they've got every right to do it. And the right is concerned, and many people are concerned. Now, this is not just in the right or the center. There's many people on the left that are extremely concerned about the idea that what we're doing is going to enable them to develop a bomb. So we're going to get rid of these sanctions, allowing them to continue their nuclear activities, their development in this deep bunker. And the upshot, the obvious outcome of this is there's going to be a nuclear weapon. So here's the most shocking part of this. And this is from the Daily Mail from 2 days ago. Obama insists nuclear agreement with Iran is a good deal as White House admits that Tehran never agreed to phased sanctions. So, I mean, here's the question, you know, if we didn't get anything concrete out of this agreement, what are we doing over there? I mean, don't they need us more than we need them? I mean, we're treating Iran like they're superstars, and yet they're a country in desperate need of getting rid of sanctions so that they can grow their economy and have an easier life. And the upshot is that we didn't get anything out of this. How's that possible? So we're going to get rid of the sanctions, and the White House says there's still important things to work out. The president's feeling optimistic. But here now this puts us into conflict with Israel, because Israel is saying, what is going on here? What are we trying to achieve? Are you trying to kill us? Here we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Thomas.
Thomas, hey, good morning to you, and thanks for calling in, and hope you're doing well, and what's on your mind?
I'm doing well. Good morning. I was calling with regard to your comments about the laws. With regard to the issue of discrimination.
Yeah.
I think your examples of maybe a nudist colony or a Jewish sort of situation are kind of hyperbole, in the sense that the law simply prohibits discrimination. A business owner can refuse business or to do business with anything that is objectionable. That is the reason that these cases have lost in court, is because reasonable people can conclude the difference or decide the difference between something that is objectionable and something that is discriminatory. And so when you discriminate against a person, I mean, it's no different than in the old days when blacks couldn't be served at a diner or something of that sort. That's discrimination.
All right, let me ask you,
had they not been nude, that's objectionable.
Well, Tom, I mean, isn't it discrimination for the Jewish person to say, this Nazi, their ideas, their actions bother me, I'm not going to deliver bagels? Why is that different than the Christian saying, I don't believe in gay marriage?
Well, it's just ideological. There's no discrimination, in my opinion. I think that's a reasonable deduction.
Well, it's a reasonable
deduction. And I think most reasonable people would be able to delineate between the two concepts.
All right, so what's the difference?
It's rather simple.
Well, I understand it's simple, but I'm not quite understanding. What's the difference? Here's the thing. I don't
understand. You discriminate against individuals. You discriminate against individuals. You delineate between ideology.
But isn't the gay movement have an ideology that they're acting on?
Yeah, but they're not behaving in that fashion. If they were making love in the middle of your restaurant, that would be objectionable. That would be an action. That would be something you could delineate. That's an ideology. That's in your head.
All right.
As long as you don't put it on the table, I think if they came in protesting, I think if gay people came in protesting or being somehow combative or something of that sort, sure, you know, that's objectionable.
All right, but okay,
that's
so
even against the law.
You've got a group of people that are ideologically opposed or they're religiously opposed, whatever, to gay marriage. You're going to force them to cater a wedding?
You like to use that word force. I like to say I will not allow you to discriminate against someone who is ideologically different than you are.
But, I mean, a Nazi is Tom, please allow me to finish my point, because it's right where you were talking about. Isn't Nazism or Arianism an ideology?
Certainly.
Arianism is an ideology. A Jewish person is going to, you know, or a black person is going to find Arianism to be objectionable. You've got a peaceful group of Arians, and this is what we believe. But so why are you going to force that black person or Jewish person to cater to an Arian wedding or whatever, or an Arian meeting?
As I said before, I don't think that it's a matter of force. I think it's a matter of being able to understand in your own mind. I could be wrong. They could be right.
All right. So what about,
why am I going to be so obstinate as to say my way is the only way?
But what about the free, allowing people to have their own freedom to make their own decisions? I mean, it's a private business.
Yeah, but you can't discriminate against individuals, whether they're white, black, or any other color, or any other ideological frame of mind, in my opinion.
So why is discrimination, why are we using the law? We say that law should not be used to enforce morality. Isn't that exactly what you're doing when you're saying there can be no discrimination?
Yes, the morality of discrimination, yes. I do not believe that you can discriminate against individuals and be in line with the law
and
in the United States.
Because it's
you can do it in other places. You can do it in other countries.
Tom.
You can discriminate against people in other countries because they don't have the freedom.
So you're using the law in a moral sledgehammer here, but you don't. You wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want if there was a Christian legislature to make sodomy illegal or to make living cohabitating illegal. Isn't it a hypocrisy on your part?
No, I don't see it that way.
Well, I mean, I know you don't, but I mean, shouldn't you see it that way?
No, because you and I are parsing hairs here. And as I said, I could be wrong on the issue. But for me, to deny service, I'm a business owner, to deny service to anyone, I provide services in this community, to deny services to anyone for ideological reasons is discrimination. If they behave in a fashion that is objectionable and perhaps even illegal, there's no problem.
All right, so let me ask you this. You're Jewish. Let's just say for a few moments, you're a Jewish business owner, and the Aryans are having some sort of let's say they're having a dance or something. They call you up and say, we want you to cater this dance for us, and you say, I would prefer not to. I'm Jewish. They call the state attorney general, and the attorney general calls you and says, if you don't cater that business, I'm going to sue you. What would you say?
Well, you're asking me, and I would have done it when they called me to see if I would cater it.
So there's no freedom. There's no freedom of contract in this country.
Freedom of contract?
The right to decide who you're going to do business with in a private business.
I think that's still a matter for the courts. I think there are many businesses that deny service for reasons that they choose to, not just the ones I'm suggesting that win cases, but of late, the ones, for example, even in New Mexico, the ones that have lost the cases have been found to be discriminatory.
All right. Okay. I see your point. Okay. Anything else? I'm running out of time for my break. So
thanks for the time. Have a good day.
That's a good call, Tom. Thank you very much. Well, he's put it out there, folks. You cannot discriminate. And if you do, the government is going to come after you. So what do you think about that? Here is... a break at 7:47. It's going to be 60 pretty soon and 85 today. Kelly O'Connell Show. We'll be right back on AM Las Cruces.
then they just hand you your baby, and they're like, all right, we'll see you. And that's when you're like, I'd really like your help now. Like, this is, I need you to live with me or something. The first question I asked, they should have probably kept, like, I was like, I was holding, I was like, how much do you feed it? I bet it's a lot. It seems like it'd be a lot. It sounded like I was buying a hamster at a pet store. The big thing they tell you, the number one thing they say, they're really big on, like, they're like, whatever you do, let's just try not to shake this baby. The big thing they tell you, it sounded like I was buying a hamster at a pet store.
It's Kelly here, and well, it's been a kind of a lively show. Okay, so, you know, Tom puts out there for you, you don't have a right to discriminate, and I'm going to use the law to back that up. Now, if you're not discriminating, you can do anything you want with your business. You have no right to discriminate. So what is the, how do you define discrimination? What does it mean? I mean, anybody is going to tell you, who thinks about it, there's discrimination in many choices. So should all of those be sanctioned by the government? This is Kelly. I've got another call. Put you on hold. And thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. It's me.
Okay, hold on 1 second. You're off suspension, but hold on. I'll come back to you. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Beth Courtney.
Bev Courtney, what's going on?
I just want to take exception with Tom.
Yes.
All he could do is repeat the mantra that we can't discriminate. And he's particularly talking about one group of people, and that's the gay lobby. And who they discriminate against are the Christians, because we call it a moral sin, and they won't accept that. So it puts us at odds with one another. It puts us in opposing points of view, and they know that. And everything they do is directed and targeted at Christians. Therefore, they have to tear down the law to do it.
Well, what can be done, Bev?
Well, just speak the truth. Instead of letting them intimidate you, they intimidate everybody so that you're afraid to speak out because they're going to attack you with their hatefulness.
Bev, I'm talking
and
about...
And people know
Bev,
it.
Bev, I'm talking about a political answer to a political problem. What can we do?
Just don't let them get away with, like, all their shouting and loud outcry over what all happened right. in Minnesota, the riffery.
All right, okay.
It's
so
ridiculous.
Don't let them get away with it. All right. Okay, so you don't have a plan, but you're going to personally oppose it.
I'm going to personally oppose it, and the plan is to uphold the law and not let them change it.
The law has been changed, so what are you going to do?
Well, riffery is at least something that was supposed to, I mean, we already had the law, so they're just trying to support it. So they make laws to support the laws that they're breaking, just like the civil forfeiture.
Yeah.
That's the Fourth Amendment.
Okay.
So why do we have to pass law to support the amendment?
All right. Okay, Bev, anything?
The 10th Bill of Rights is what we're going to hold on to. We're going to hold on to it with our life.
All right. Okay, Bev, thanks for the call. Have a good day. Thanks for the call, Mike, and how's it going?
Hey, Kelly. Briefly, I'd just like to say when the people feel fear of the government, it's called tyranny, right?
Uh-huh. And when the when the government fears the people, it's called democracy or republicanism. But anything else?
Well, we the people are the government, right?
Yeah.
Well, then why should we be under their control? It's like a alien force is trying to control us.
Well,
and it's all about control.
It's a democracy. It's a republic. So, I mean, we make decisions through the legislature. Or through judges, I guess.
Well, you're right. But, Kelly, can I say one thing?
As long as it's not a foul word, yes.
Is Jeb Bush Hispanic?
Depends on how the lighting is.
He claims to be.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call, Mike. Have a good day. All right, Mike is off suspension. Everybody can celebrate. All right. So anyway, so we've got this situation with the laws, and there is this tendency for the left to, if they pass a law, not only say, is this is the law, but this is the only way the law could be. And you heard Ben Rawson talk about the people saying that this is the law, this is what we stand for, and we're doing the moral thing. And the, you know, the issue is, I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, I kind of feel like it is, feel like there's a lot of kind of manipulation from the left, because, you know, to be in the left, you got to give them some credit. You got to swing above your, you got to hit above your weight to be in the left, because you don't have the numbers. So you got to figure out another way to get stuff done. So anyway, I'm going to take you, I've got a little bit more Nate Bargatze, a little more comedy for you to lighten it up. But thanks for listening in to the Kelly O'Connell Show. I hope you have a great day, and we'll meet you back here. We got somebody coming in. Neil Hooks wrote an article on this very issue. We're going to talk to him tomorrow, and also Steve Pierce is going to appear live. Have a great day, Kelly O'Connell. 7:57 and a half. Ciao.
The big thing they tell you, the number one thing they say, they're really big.
Oh, and this is in dedication to Ben Rawson's baby.
Big on, like, they're like, whatever you do, let's just try not to shake this baby. That's like the number one goal. And they tell it to you, like, they're almost like, obviously you're going to want to shake the baby. But it would be so awesome if you just did not shake this baby. That would be the best. And then they showed me a video of a guy, like, that's like, here's what I do instead of shaking my baby. Like, he was like, I take walks, for instance. You know, I walk 70 miles a day or something. I walk a lot. I walk a lot. Then I signed a certificate, like I was in kindergarten, that said, all right, I promise, I swear to God, I won't shake the baby. I've never heard the word shake so much in my entire life. That's all we talked about.